This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
What is this? More Star Wars episodes? Oh, snap, crackle, and pop. We are Pizza and Parsecs. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Dave.
I'm Liv, and we're joined with Remus today.
We are joined with Remus. Hi, puppy.
I think he's in every episode at this point.
He is. He does better when he's recording in the room with us.
Yeah. He would say hi, but he's a dog.
Hi, guys. Everybody, listen to Pizza and Parsecs. Leave a 5-star rating review on iTunes. Red 5 Wit Network. Yay!
You got him all excited.
So yeah, we are back once again. Obviously today we are talking the next episode of Bad Batch. Cut and run.
Yeah. Oh snap.
Got the Wreckers, the Hunters, the Techs.
Sorry.
And Olivia's yawns.
Yeah.
Is that reflective of how you felt about this episode?
Kind of.
Were you bored with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like this one too much. But I think for me, this particular episode was poorly placed. I think having the, oh, you are a child, so you should go and be with a family, not with a bunch of rough and tough clones. I would have probably liked it more in the middle of the season opposed to the second episode, personally. And we can get into that. There are things that I liked about it, of course, but for me, I think it was just a little too soon.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I think the first point that you brought up brings up two things that we can go ahead and dive into. You know, as we were watching this, we were sitting there and we're like, this is the Mandalorian again.
Yeah, yeah.
When Mando tries to pawn off little Grogu.
Yeah, on Ahsoka.
Ends up changing his mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've seen that in The Mandalorian. And I was watching this and I was like, this is the Lone Wolf and Cub episode. Like, I'm wondering if this entire series is going to be like this Lone Wolf and Cub thing.
Which, you know, it's a formula that works. And it's a formula that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau did a fantastic job with The Mandalorian. And do I think that we need to see it again? No. Am I mad if we see it again? No. I think it works. I think it's fine. But the episodes of Mando trying to pawn off Grogu were later on in the seasons.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's it was setting themselves up for, okay, well, now that we've established we're keeping Omega, now we can get on with the season. When, for me, let the kid kind of get into some more danger. Let's develop and see where this kid's gonna go, what is her purpose, before Hunter decides, oh, this is actually really dangerous. It was one dangerous situation that Omega got herself into, in her own sense. It really wasn't Hunter who brought her into that dangerous situation. I don't know. I think I would have liked this one episode had we had more background on Omega, had we had more background on the relationship that is developing between Omega and the Bad Batch. They could have kept this whole entire thing. They wouldn't have to change anything about it if they just put a couple episodes in between.
I've gone back and forth with you on this. And the counter argument, I would say, for me at least, is, you know, we have this Bad Batch. You know, these are like, you know, crazy guys, like a bunch of Rambos.
Yeah.
And what I feel like we started to get a little bit in Aftermath, and even more so in Cut and Run, is we get to see sort of the softer side. We get to see the heart behind the Bad Batch a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's sort of what this episode accomplishes. It's not an action-packed episode.
Right.
it's an episode where I feel like you really get to explore a little bit more of the emotional side, the tender, more tender parts of the Bad Batch, which I appreciate that aspect of it. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you that it might have been too soon to maybe leverage this this formula for, like, you know, pawning off the chosen one,
yeah,
if you will.
The one that's on everyone's mind, the question mark.
Yeah, the question mark. Pawning off the question mark. That's a better way of putting it. You're so smart.
Thanks. I try.
But you know, I liked seeing that. And, you know, in the first part of this episode, what I really appreciate is the parallels that they make between Omega and Wrecker. They're often presented in almost this similar light. Because Wrecker's basically a child.
Yeah.
He's a giant child. And the episode opens with them both taking a nap in the back of the ship.
Right. After, like, completely destroying and making an utter mess of the ship.
It kind of reminds me of, like, this image I have in my head of, like, the kids sneaking into the kitchen, getting into, like, the cookie jar, eating, like, all the cookies, and then going into a food coma.
Right.
That's sort of the image that I had.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, like, really sweet. I thought it was really sweet.
Well, and I also appreciated, you know, I do appreciate that aspect of, like, getting to see the softer side of the Bad Batch. Because right now we have, what, a grand total, you know, at the time of recording this, we have a grand total of 4 solid episodes that include the Bad Batch. Being 1 Clone Wars episode and now 3 episodes, which we haven't watched the third one yet. Of the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
So, of these episodes, we've only seen the Bad Batch be what they are. Bad donkeys.
Yes,
I think we said that in our Wonder Woman episode. We used bad donkey.
Bad donkey. That sounds like something Shrek would say.
Bad donkey.
Bad donkey.
Yes. I didn't like Shrek. That was not my favorite movie.
Okay.
At all. But, so yeah, I do think that the softer image that we got in this episode was nice. I don't know. I still sit in the boat of it might have been too soon for me personally. Now, I don't know what episode 3 holds. I don't know what this particular episode set us up for moving forward. I could have something completely different to say when we watch episode 3. And I'm like, oh, well, now I'm really glad that we already had that so we can progress forward. Mm-hmm. But in my current state of, I've only seen episode 1, Aftermath, 2, Cut and Run. I just felt like it was, the Star Wars community is going to come after me. I felt like it was anticlimactic. Like, yes, it set us up into this place of, oh, well, now you need these chain codes. That makes sense moving into the era of the universe that we're working with. It brought some really good questions up about removing the clones opposed to setting up and protecting bases. Like, that was kind of something that they were transitioning into. That was really cool. But those were just minor moments of, like, hey, look, we're putting these pieces together for you. But it was an anticlimactic episode. Like, I watch Mandalorian and I see episode 1. Episode 2 is just as good of both seasons. You know, I watch Clone Wars, episode 1 of the new season. Episode 2 is just as good. This one was not the winner for me.
Okay.
I even think I kind of fell asleep when we just watched it.
What?
I did. I was like, I already know what happens. It's okay. I was dozing. But, I hit it. I'm such a noob. Doing this for a year and I still hit the microphone.
I remember my first podcast.
No, but, like, I'm not saying that Bad Batch, I don't like it. I'm saying this episode was not my favorite, and I thought that, I don't know, I thought that I would have enjoyed it more if it was later on in the season.
Okay. You just felt like it was misplaced.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
I also liked how, as a transitionary tool, it makes sense, like, Cut was involved. As a defector.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was really cool to see that. and Sue, who we had a discussion pretty much
the entire episode.
The entire episode when Liv was awake, apparently.
It was just for like a minute. I was dozing for a minute.
We spent a not so insignificant amount of time discussing how Twi'lek children get their colors in interspecies relations.
Yeah. For some context, Dave and I are both red-green colorblind, and and when you look at people who are colorblind, there are different sections of... There's different categories that somebody's eyes can be considered colorblind. Red-green being one of them, and then there's subcategories. Those subcategories mean you're red deficient, or it means you are certain color deficient, or your eyes only can see the base color of the color wheel, being like the, normal colors, blue, red, yellow, and then orange, green, those like base colors. I struggle with seeing shades of the same color. So where I see pink, most pinks all look the same pink to me. I'm learning through people making jokes. Not all pinks are the same. Not all blues are the same. Now I can see light blue versus dark blue. I don't know what magenta is, okay? I don't know what fuchsia is. I don't know what these colors are because they look purple to me. They're just purple.
Yeah, I think the best way to put it is like if we're a Crayola pack, we're like the... we're like the
we're the 8 pack.
We're not the 64 color pack.
No. Whenever I would get a 64 color pack, I would just sit there. And like, people didn't know I was colorblind until I was in high school. And I didn't really catch on until I was in high school. But I would get the 64 color pack and I would always be super stoked because I would have like 4 reds. They'd all say something different. So I would always be like, I don't understand why this red is fire truck red. And then this one is orange red. I don't know what that is. Orange red.
Red, orange, like apple.
Yeah, what's the difference? There is none. So I would just be like, ooh, pack of 64. That means I had the same color like 5 times. I'll never run out of crayons.
And thank goodness, like, they had like the colors written on them too.
Well, yeah. Well, like with my Copic marker on them, and I know how to read those. So I know that like the higher up you go, the different shades they are. That's always helpful. It's when they don't have anything on them. So like the Dollar Tree crayons that don't have any color indication.
Yeah, I can't hang with crayons that have no writing on them that don't tell me what color it is.
Yeah. Anyway.
So yeah.
Back to Twi'leks.
We were talking like, because Sue and her kids, like Sue's kids are obviously different colors.
Yes, one is pink and one is blue.
See, I got tan and blue.
Oh, you also thought Sue was blue.
I still think Sue is blue.
Sue's not blue. Sue is like purple.
Okay.
Sue is purple.
that's fine. We can disagree on that. I can be wrong. Or you can be wrong.
We will never know unless somebody tells us we're
like,
wrong.
We just thought it was really funny that the two colorblind people were sitting there debating colors.
For like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
The episode is 32 minutes long.
Every time Sue came up, I was like, she's blue.
Oh, she's purple.
Anyway, like, we were wondering, like, how, like, do children, like, grow into their colors?
Is it a choice?
Yeah, it could be a choice. Or is it, like, because we talked about Hera, right?
Right.
Hera's parents are both the same color, and she's the same color as her parents.
Right. But both of her parents are green.
Yeah. But with Sue, she's obviously married to Cut.
Who's a clone.
And so they're not the same species. So it makes sense that their kids don't look the same.
Right.
And I thought, like, the son looked more like, or had the color similar to Cut. And the daughter had a color more similar to the mother. Which I just thought it was interesting. It's something I had never really thought about before. And it was kind of fun to think about.
Well, I mean, in the context of Twi'leks, we are usually presented with either situations like Hera, where we see her lineage and they're all the same color, or we've seen Jedi Twi'leks or lone Twi'leks by themselves, or in Mandalorian, we had some of the fugitives who were Twi'leks, but we don't have any context of, like, how did they get to be that color? Like, what was the process? How does this work? I don't understand. So, Twitter, first off, what color are the kids and what color is Sue? Second, what color are they? How did they get that way?
Like, I think there is, like, a legitimate reason, if memory serves, like, that determines the color of the Twi'lek.
Well, there has to be. I mean, there's nothing in Star Wars that is left without some kind of historic lineage added to it. Like, if we don't get it, if we don't already have it, we're going to get it at some point.
Yeah. I think we have gotten it. It might have been Echo Station that did a deep dive on the Twi'lek species, and I listened to them, and that's, like, I'm remembering the episode, but I can't remember the why. Anyway, the Twi'lek color thing was a big thing for us in this episode.
It was a big conversation.
And Omega, you brought up a funny thing, or not funny, you brought up a thing.
Yeah.
About her headgear, her little talisman thing.
Yeah.
And how, you know, in Star Wars, typically you see that with royalty, you think like Padme.
Right. And I really wish I could give credit where credit is due, because I saw it on Twitter and it was one of our friends that posted it. I cannot remember who posted it. But it was, we had Padme, I think Organa, the woman, Lady Organa, not Leia, her mom.
Oh, Bail's wife.
Yeah.
Let's just call her Bail's wife.
Yeah. And then the chickadee from Rogue One Rebels who they saved. I can't remember her name. She was one of the ones that kind of began the rebellion.
Well, then you also have Duchess Satine.
Yeah.
I think she had headgear.
She had something on her head. But all of these women had, at least in the thing that I saw on Twitter, I'm pretty sure it was those three ladies. So if you retweeted that, hit me up so I can make sure I credit you. But then Omega was also one of the four pictures. And they all had, not similar in ways, but they all had headgear that looked comparable. They didn't all have the same symbol, or they weren't the same shape, but they all had that, like, stringed headgear, not the big ones, but, like, just the very simple headpieces.
So here's my theory.
She's a Jedi.
No, she's not. So we know Omega's a clone. We don't know her purpose.
Right.
I'm wondering if Palpatine somehow managed to get Padme's DNA.
Mm-hmm. I think I see where you're going with this.
And made a clone of Padme. Something about that stone reminds me of the necklace that Anakin gave Padme in episode one.
Yeah, okay.
That little rock that has just like a few lines on it. I can't remember what it stands for. But it kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Okay.
Do I think that's the direction it's going? No. Do I think it'd be cool? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I mean, if we want to get real technical and we want to get real fanboy crazy over here, let's say that's true. Let's say Palpatine was like, you know what, I need a clone Padme or whatnot. Who's to say that couldn't be the lineage of Rey, which is why she could wield Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber, which would make her half Skywalker, half Palpatine.
Oh. I don't think so.
Well, no, I don't think so either, but that would be kind of a cool, like, well, there we go. There's how Palpatine, because, like, let's be real. Palpatine did not have a wife that we know of. Who would want to be wifed up to the guy who is like, good, unlimited power? I'd be shocked all the time. Like, that would be not fun.
Yeah, I...
You're perplexed and puzzled and not happy with my responses.
No, I'm not.
Because I took it and ran with it.
I'm not. Like, Rey doesn't need to be related to Luke to handle his lightsaber.
I want that to be the truth, though.
Okay.
That's what I want. Period.
But Finn but Finn also wielded Luke's lightsaber.
Well, Finn is an anomaly that we still don't understand. Rey is also an anomaly that we do not understand.
Okay.
J.J. Abrams.
Why four guys?
Why four guys? Go chat with Dave Filoni for a minute.
But yeah, so I think that's a fun little theory. Like, in my head, Palpatine is making a clone of Padme because somehow he knew that Anakin was going to turn, end up killing Padme, and this would be a way for him to still have Anakin under his thumb by saying, I can give you Padme back. Or right. Something like that. The only thing that doesn't really match up is she doesn't really look like Padme exactly.
And her accent's kind of off.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean...
accents can be acquired, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, you listen to all the clones. They all sound different. They're clones, but they all sound different. They all... And we even talked about this after the first episode. I pick up a slight, like, Australian, New Zealand accent in all the clones. At least the majority of the clones. That matches and kind of gives me that reason to believe that Omega was kind of cloned in the same kind of manner as the actual clones. But they all do sound different. Like Hunter and Tech both sound different from each other.
Well, Dee Bradley Baker is just amazing at what he does. He voices like everybody in the show. It's like you go through the credits and it's just like, Dee Bradley Baker, the end.
Right. Well, you go on Clone Wars or Bad Batch or Rebels, IMDb, and you go through like the main couple characters and then you see Bradley Baker and it's like his section is so long.
Yeah. Dude is a talent and a half.
Yeah. I had a thought and I can't remember what it was. I still like Tech. He's still my favorite.
I do like Tech. Tech's cool. One of the other things that I thought was very striking about this episode is, much like season 7 of Clone Wars, like, I'm just super impressed with the animation.
Yes. It's beautiful.
And the design and, you know, it looks so pretty.
It's a very pretty cartoon.
The end.
Well, it is. Like, we talked about it when we watched Aftermath. Like, the attention to detail and the way that you can almost see on their skin the way it kind of looks like a brush stroke, opposed to it being a very solid, typical cartoon where there's clear shading, but it's only for depth purposes. It doesn't have that like detail to it. And it's very captivating. It shows movement in the body that humans in real life have. You know, we have imperfections or like different things on our, like with our skin that give us our uniqueness. And when you're dealing with a TV show full of clones where they're all supposed to kind of look and act and be similar while they don't all look the same, there's those small details and those brush strokes that show movement and uniqueness to each and every single person, which I'm obsessed with. And I do like that.
It's fun. And it's textured.
Yes. Very well. Yes.
And it really accentuates the expressions that you get from the characters, which is awesome.
Yes. I like it a lot.
But I mean, overall, I'm still, you know, neck deep invested in Bad Batch. I still digging it so far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can't wait to wrap this one up and go watch episode 3.
I know.
I think this might be like the shortest episode we've had in a long time. I think our bonus episodes might have been this short.
Yeah, it definitely is a shorter episode. But these are just like, we go and watch them and then we come up here real quick and hop on the mic and are like, all right, cool. Because as of right now, most of the podcasts that I listen to, I haven't seen very many of our podcast friends do Bad Batch episode recaps yet.
I wouldn't say that because by the time this comes out, everybody's going to have a Bad Batch episode.
Oh. Well, as a moment of recording, moment, you're going to cut it. So it doesn't matter what I say. It's really fun to come up here and get the opportunity to like chit chat about the newest Star Wars, because we didn't do that about with Mando.
We haven't done that with anything. We've never gone an episode by episode for anything before.
Yeah. And I mean, we thought about doing something like that with like Rebels and Clone Wars, but we decided arcs would be a lot easier because there's a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would love to do the same kind of concept with the Kenobi series and the Ahsoka series. I think that would be so dope just because we're going to be watching them week by week. And
yeah,
that would be fun. And we didn't do it with the season 7 of Clone Wars. So,
although we did have a monster Siege of Mandalore episode, though.
Yes, we did.
God, I remember that. I remember recording that, and then immediately, I think the total recording time was like close to 4 hours.
It was.
And then I spent like the next 6 hours editing.
Yes. So
to get it out the next day.
Yes.
That was a challenge.
Yeah. That's a season that I want to go back and watch again when I heal from Dave Filoni throwing Order 66 at us yet again.
Why four cuz?
I did talk to my kiddo. So I have a student who absolutely loves all things Star Wars. And she's really funny because she didn't realize how much I love Star Wars until I had mentioned Pizza and Parsecs, because I had a t-shirt on at the beginning of the season in my point class. She was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, Star Wars, are you excited about Mandalorian? And, you know, all of these things. So when Ahsoka came out in The Mandalorian, she was actually on the opposite end of us, where she did not like, what's her name?
Rosario Dawson.
That one. Rosario Dawson. She wasn't a big fan of that casting choice. So we started having conversations about, oh, well, why don't you like her as an Ahsoka? And, you know, she had her opinions. But she's watching The Bad Batch week by week as well. And so every Thursday, we chit-chat for a few minutes the day before the new episode comes out and have a really fun conversation about Bad Batch. She agrees with me that this episode was probably poorly placed.
Okay.
But she really, really enjoyed the fact that they got it out of the way. So she was like, yeah, I would have liked it, and I agree with you, I would have liked it later on. But I think they're setting us up for something big to happen in the next couple of episodes, which is why I said that at the beginning. And I was sitting here, I was like, I should probably credit my student, because she did help me kind of come around and see, like, okay, maybe this is a purpose. Maybe they did put it here for a reason. But
yeah, I think I'm going to stay on the side of, I think there's a lot of emotional depth to be mined in an episode like this that will make whatever happens next seem to be more profound. But I mean, I generally approach most of the things that we talk about with like unbridled optimism.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm optimistic. I think there's going to be some really cool stuff that happens. And I'm not, again, like I said, I'm not turned off by it. I'm going to say it. I'm really tired of the lone wolf cub story, personally.
Okay.
It works. It's great. Do I want it again? No. Am I mad at it? No. But I don't necessarily want to see it again. It's getting to a point where it's predictable. I'm like, all right, I know there's more creativity here.
Well, I mean, Dave's at the helm.
Yeah, that's why I'm not worried.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not too worried about it.
Has he ever led us astray?
We saw Order 66 twice in the last year.
Yeah, you're right. Why four cuz? Why four
cuz? Has he ever led us astray? Yes. He made us relive traumatic events twice in the past 12 months. Why four cuz?
Well, if you're trying to get over traumatic events yourself, go on over to the Red 5 Network over on red5network.com. We are proud and blessed and grateful to call the Red 5 Network home and to have all of our amazing brothers and sisters over there. A lot of great pods. Make sure you check them out. But that is it for this here episode of Pizza and Parsecs. I am Dave.
I'm Liv.
And you can check us out on the aforementioned red5network.com. Or if you'd prefer to head to our own website, we have one of those, pizzaandparsecs.com. If you want to help get the word out about a small podcast such as ours, make sure you're going out to iTunes and leaving a 5-star rate and review. It doesn't have to be ours. It can be another podcast that you listen to, though we do appreciate it when you leave us a 5-star. But support some of your favorite pods out there. We appreciate it, and I'm sure they appreciate it as well. We have an awesome family in our social network as well over on Twitter. You should join that at Pizza and Parsecs. You know, give us all the hollers you got, maybe a little bit more, and we'll holler back.
Holla!
And that is all, folks, for this here. And thank you once again for tuning in. Mischief managed. May the force be with you, and God bless.
Bye.